and an hour later I'll be in the ER getting stitches in my eyebrow or something. I smile. We're friends, huh? He takes a tiny step toward me. Close, but not too close. Friends close.
Can we be?
He asks. 2 weeks ago, I was okay with being his friend, but that's not what I want anymore. I like him. I like everything about him. The way he plays, the songs he writes, the things he says, the way he makes me want to speak out, not hold my words inside. That dimple, those lips, I have to know what they feel like. Maybe this is like blurting? Maybe I'm not supposed to think about it, I'm just supposed to do it. But I want him to make the first move. Please, kiss me. Sure, I say.
Good, he replies. Friends.
But I want more. I picture Devin again. She had more. Then again, she probably never teased him for a stutter he couldn't help, and harassed him until he switched schools. I should go, I say. I'm still standing close enough for him to touch me again, and for a moment I wonder if he's going to. He doesn't move, but his eyes are locked on mine like he's trying to read my thoughts. If he could, he'd understand how much I want him to wrap his arms around my waist and rest his chin on my shoulder, looking as relaxed and happy as he did in that picture. He takes a deep breath and blows it out slowly.
Okay,
he finally says, and then he walks over to the door and turns the knob, and I reluctantly follow him down the hall. He grabs my car keys off the table in the entryway and dangles them in front of me.
Thanks again for helping M,
he says. Of course.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. I don't want to leave. I'm not entirely sure he wants me to. AJ stands on the porch, leaning against a post with his arms crossed, watching me climb into my car. I back out of the driveway, wondering what would have happened if I'd been brave enough to tell him what I was really thinking. This White Rabbit. Somewhere around midnight, I thought about taking my sleep meds and calling it a night, but I couldn't stop researching, and so by 4 a.m., I've learned a lot about Devin Rossiter. I've been manically opening window after window, clicking on link after link, scanning site after site, but I'm still following this white rabbit down the hole, trying to feed my brain enough information to reach my own personal wonderland. Like Kyle, Devin's an impressive athlete, well-ranked on the varsity team. Carlton High posts everything from team to individual player stats, so not only can I see her official photo, again, pretty, very little makeup, I can see her every point, goal, shot, assist, and steal for every game she played last season. There are lots of team photos, and in each one she's wearing her long blonde hair in a ponytail, with her bangs pulled back in a sporty-looking headband. There are a few videos, but she's not in many of them. Across the internet, I've uncovered a few articles about her. I can't figure out where she lived, but that would be easy if I really wanted to find out. Even if my mom didn't represent either side of the sale, I bet her laptop has all the details. I can't tell where they live now, but I've located her dad's new office in Boston on Google Maps. Devin seems to be settling in well at her new school, making friends both on and off the team. Her Facebook page is open so I can see everything, including a long and photographically detailed history of her almost a year relationship with AJ. There are pictures from our winter formal. I recognize the background, and I notice that she's wearing more makeup in these shots, but still not as much as I wear every day. There are photos of the two of them at the beach, and the two of them at her niece's third birthday party, and the two of them at various soccer tournaments, including one of her standing in between AJ and Kyle, her arms draped over their shoulders. She checked in at a few movies and tagged AJ, too. Of course, that leads me to AJ's Facebook page, but I find his almost completely untouched, save the times she's tagged him. There's nothing about him here, nothing about music, nothing about poetry, nothing about his brother or his mom, and nothing that connects him to the people in Poet's Corner. With every click, I feel the tightening in my stomach, The adrenaline rush, the need to learn more. Not about her, about them. I have to understand this relationship, and what's at the root of that expression on AJ's face when he's looking at Devin and not at the camera, which he's often doing. It's not jealousy. It's my OCD. This inexplicable, uncontrollable need to know one thing, and then one more thing, and then yet another thing, until my brain is exhausted. And tonight, I'm having a hard time reaching that level, because it's been hours, and I still don't know what it feels like to be in a relationship like this one, to be that close, that connected to someone else. And I need to figure it out in a way no one but Sue would ever understand. Sue. If she saw what I was doing right now, she'd lose it. I shut my laptop and let it drop to the floor next to my nightstand. I shouldn't be doing this. Devin doesn't live here. And she and AJ aren't together. And even if she did and they were, he's not my boyfriend. We're barely even friends. My logical mind knows these things are true. But still, when I close my eyes, there's this image of AJ and Devin twisted up in the sheets together. His mom isn't home until 6 o'clock on weeknights. His brother's never home either. He loved her and he still might. How often did they meet at his house after school? Did they cut classes, spending full days together in his bed? They must have at least once. Serious relationship, empty house, that's what you do. I don't want to think about the two of them, arms and legs intertwined under his blue comforter, but I can't fall asleep because I can't get the image out of my head. Grip the Bat. Caroline and I are sitting in the front row of the theater in our usual seats. I'm jittery from my lack of sleep and the 3 Cokes I've had since lunch. This morning, I found AJ's guitar pick in the pocket of my jeans, and I've been fiddling with it ever since, like it's my thinking putty. I've already decided I'm going to tape it up on the inside of my locker door. "You're freaking out about a girl he hasn't spoken to in months," Caroline says. "We've been trying to write a new poem, but I'm having a hard time concentrating. I keep picturing the way AJ folded his arms around me, his chest pressed against my back, his warm breath on my neck. I can't stop reliving that fantasy when I crossed the room and kissed him. I'm trying to think about the good parts of being alone with AJ in his room yesterday, because there were many of them, but no matter what I do, that photograph pops into my mind every time. They were together for almost a year. It was serious, Caroline." "So, it's not serious now." I close my notebook, leaving the pencil and the binding to mark our place, and lean back in the crushed red velvet theater seat. "See, this is good. Keep going," I say, curling my finger toward me. "This is why I told you. I knew you'd talk some sense into me. Did I tell you she's a senior?" "3 times now." Caroline shifts in her chair and folds her arms across her chest. "Do you really want to hear what I think, Sam?" "Of course I do." I throw my head back and stare up at the ceiling. She doesn't say anything. I look at her so she knows I mean it. "Please, I want to know what you think." "Fine," Caroline says. "I think he likes you."
"You do?"
She doesn't answer my question, she just keeps talking. "I also think you're overcomplicating this whole thing. I think that even when good, totally normal, completely healthy things happen in your life, like," she starts articulating her points on her fingers, "your new car, writing poetry, spending an afternoon at AJ's house, meeting me." She sits up straighter, wearing a big fake grin, then returns to her serious tone. "You seem determined to find a way to make them unhealthy."
"You? I haven't turned you into anything unhealthy."
"Maybe not yet."
"What's that supposed to mean?"
She laughs. "You're missing the point, Sam. These are all good things, all normal things, and rather than enjoying them, you find a way to twist them into something toxic." I roll my eyes and let out a sigh. "Trust me, I want to stop thinking. I wish I could." Caroline kicks her feet out in front of her and leans way back in the chair, crossing her arms behind her head and staring off into the distance. "You should hit baseballs,"
Baseballs, I say flatly. My dad and I used to go to the batting cages at the park. Have you ever been? I think I went when I was a little kid. It was ages ago. I don't really remember it. Why? You get in the cage all alone. Caroline sits up straight and begins talking louder and faster, using her hands for emphasis. Then you grab your bat and take your stance, and even though you're expecting it, there's a sense of surprise when this ball comes flying out of the machine, right at you. She points to her head. So you grip the bat tighter and bring it to your shoulder. You watch the ball. Then you step into it and swing. Okay, I say, wondering where she's going with this. You hear this crack when the bat connects, and then the ball's gone, soaring off into the distance. But you can't relax, because now there's another ball speeding your way. So you tighten your grip, take your stance, and swing again, and you keep going until your time runs out. By then, your shoulder is throbbing and you're totally out of breath, but you feel pretty damn good. You're saying my thoughts are like baseballs? Her lips curl into a satisfied grin. Exactly. And you, my friend, stand there in the batting cage and let those balls smack you in the head over and over again. But you don't have to. She taps her finger against her temple. You have a perfectly good bat. I have a broken bat. It'll do, she says. Then she leans back in the chair again and crosses her arms, looking proud to have said her piece. Are you still glad you asked me what I thought? Actually, I am. Good. Can you be happy, please? Things are going well, aren't they? They are. I can't wait to get downstairs on Mondays and Thursdays. I'm even starting to look forward to stepping up on that stage. I haven't had an AIDS-induced thought spiral in weeks. Yes. You can trust them, Sam, she says. Let your guard down with AJ and everyone else. And please stop thinking so much. You're exhausting. I give her foot a kick. She kicks me back. And we return to writing. He reaches out. Over the next week, I see AJ everywhere. I pass by him between classes, and not only after second period, the way I've intentionally scheduled. At lunch each day, I see him sitting with Emily and Cameron, and when I catch him stealing glances at me, he quickly looks away and pretends to be deep in conversation. I've seen him in the student lot twice now, climbing into Sydney's car. Both times I drove away, wishing he'd climbed into mine. On Monday, I tried to talk with him after Poet's Corner, but he said he had somewhere he needed to be and sped up the stairs so fast, Caroline even looked at me and said, "Well, that was awkward." I'm starting to wonder if I imagined the whole thing last week, because it's as if the two of us never chatted over linguistics and playlists. I never saw his room or his clipboard filled with music, and that an incredibly sexy acoustic guitar lesson, the one I'm still obsessing about, and not even trying to block from my mind, didn't happen at all. As I'm walking to third period on Wednesday, I see him heading right toward me. I'm expecting one of his usual nonchalant chin lifts, and preparing to return it with one of my own, but instead he slows his steps and actually makes eye contact with me. "Hey," he says under his breath as he comes to a stop, "do you have a second?" I nod and he waves me over to the side of the corridor and out of traffic. He dips his head toward mine. "How are you?" he asks. He's not wearing a cap today, and when his hair falls forward, I have to fight the urge to push it away from his face. "I'm good. How are you?"
"Fine."
He looks so nervous, shifting his weight, like maybe this isn't going the way he'd planned. Then I realize he's picking at his imaginary guitar strings against his jeans. I wonder if I'm fidgeting, too, so I check myself and find my hand at the back of my neck, my nails all set to dig in. I wrap my backpack strap around my finger instead.
"I just wanted to see how you were doing."
I try to think of something interesting to say, something open-ended that we will have to continue talking about when we have more time. But before I can speak, he reaches out and brushes his thumb against my arm. It's not a mistake. It's deliberate.
"I better get to class," he says.
"Yeah," I say. "Me too." He drops his hand and slips back into the crowd,
and I look around the corner watching him walk away. It's all I can do to not follow after him. I want to talk to him longer. I want him to touch me like that again. I bite the inside of my cheek 3 times and head off in the opposite direction. Safe with them.
It must be Wednesday, Colleen chirps when I open the door. She walks around to my side of the counter and gives me a bottle of water. It's been a crazy day around here. Sue had an emergency at the hospital this morning, and we've been running behind schedule ever since.
It's funny. Sometimes I forget that Shrink Sue has other patients, let alone patients who require her to drop everything and come to a hospital for them. I'm glad I don't need her that much.
Get comfortable, Colleen says.
I stick in my earbuds, and instead of choosing my usual waiting room playlist, I turn on Song for You. Leaning against the wall, I mentally bring myself back to the school corridor, happy to have a few quiet moments to think about what happened with AJ this afternoon. He was so nervous and so cute, and so close to me. As music fills my ears, chills travel through my body, and I realize I'm brushing my thumb back and forth across my arm, exactly the way he did. Something catches my eye, and I see Colleen waving from behind her desk. I give a tug on the cord, and my earbuds fall into my lap.
She's ready for you.
I shuffle into Sue's office. She doesn't waste any time getting down to business.
So, fill me in on your week.
As I stretch my putty, I give her the basics. Everything with my family is good. School's fine. The poetry's going well. Getting better. Still therapeutic. We get to the inevitable conversation about the crazy AIDS, but surprisingly, there isn't much to tell. Things have been fairly drama-free.
How are things with Caroline? She asks,
and today I don't smile like I normally do. Instead, I feel my blood pressure spike.
I've been thinking about her a lot this week. I'm feeling really guilty, you know?
I picture her the way the AIDS would see her, frayed flannels and weird t-shirts, blemished skin and stringy hair. She's my friend. I shouldn't be keeping her a secret.
Does she mind that you haven't introduced her to the AIDS?
I shake my head. No, I asked her earlier this week. She told me she has no interest in meeting them.
What would they say if you told them about her?
I squeeze my putty hard. They'd feel threatened. You know how they are about other girls. It's a loyalty thing. Sue writes something down in her portfolio.
Then maybe you shouldn't tell them.
Is that okay?
It sounds like it's okay with Caroline. Is it okay with you?
I guess so. My heart starts racing again. Actually, I don't feel like talking about this today. She considers me for a moment and then returns to her portfolio, flipping pages back to review her notes from earlier sessions.
How's your swimming going?
I've been going to the pool 6 days a week since school started. I'm still swimming with the team, but I'm also starting to swim by myself at night. It feels great. I feel great. This is going to be an easy session. Sue's had a busy day. She's behind schedule. Let's wrap it up so I can get to the pool. I'm trying to decide what to say next when Sue closes her portfolio, rests her elbows on her knees, and locks her eyes on mine.
Why do you look so tired? She asks.
What?
How have you been sleeping?
Sue doesn't move. I'm pretty sure she's not even blinking. I consider cracking a joke or coming up with an excuse, but after a long pause, I decide to tell her the truth. I stopped taking my sleep meds, I whisper.
When?
I blow out a breath. I know the exact date. It was the week Caroline first introduced me to Poet's Corner. I couldn't get AJ's song out of my head, and at some point an obsession with his words turned into an obsession with my own.
Over 2 months ago?
She lets out a heavy sigh. I can't see what she's writing, but knowing she's documenting my failure makes me feel even worse.
You can't get by with 4 to 5 hours of sleep each night, Sam.
I've been doing exactly that for the last couple of months, and I'm fine. I'm not failing my classes or anything.
Well, I might be failing trigonometry, but that doesn't have anything to do with the amount of sleep I've been getting. That's entirely about me sucking at trigonometry. What are you working on that late at night? I tuck my feet underneath me and recline into the chair, staring up at the ceiling. Poetry, I say, which is true, but not entirely. Sometimes I'm writing, sometimes I'm reading other people's poems on the internet. Sometimes I'm listening to music and looking up lyrics, but that counts as a form of poetry, doesn't it? Can't you do that during the day? I shake my head hard. No time. But it's more than that. It's not that I don't have the time. It's that the time's not right. Even when I'm writing during my swim or in the theater with Caroline, it's dark and quiet. I need it dark and quiet. I need to write at night where no one can see me. Sam, she says strictly, and I smash my putty between my fingers. Have you stopped taking your other medication? No, I wouldn't do that, Sue. I remember how I used to be before we found the right meds. I used to fixate on something. It could be anything. Something one of my teachers said, or something one of the aides said, or something I heard on the news. I knew the thoughts were irrational, but one thought led to another and to another, and once the spiral started, I couldn't control it. It was horrible. I'd yell at my parents, throw tantrums like a 6-year-old. I was tired all the time, because trying to function while you're trying to ignore all those swirling thoughts is physically and mentally draining. I'm still myself on the meds, but they help me control the thought spirals. I wouldn't go back to a life without them. This matters to you, doesn't it? I must look confused because Sue adds, the poetry. Yeah, more than I expected it to. It's not only the writing I crave, it's everything that goes along with it. It's the look of anticipation on people's faces when I step up on that stage. It's the way Caroline tells me I'm getting better with every new poem, that I'm finding my voice. It's the way I can construct verses during a 100-meter fly. It's everyone downstairs, too, how invested I now feel in their lives. How my heart aches when Emily tells us that her mom is getting worse, not better. How Sydney's poems always put me in a good mood. How Chelsea hits me right in the feels with her pieces about her ex-boyfriend. It's the way Poet's Corner is changing my life, exactly like Caroline said it would. More than ever before, I feel compelled to tell Sue about that room. I feel guilty about not telling her. And aside from Mom, she's the only one who would truly understand how walking into that room feels like diving into the pool, how the paper on the walls gives me such an overwhelming sense of peace. But I can't break my promise. Sue must see something in my expression, because hers softens, and she starts tapping her mechanical pencil against her knee, like she does when she's thinking. What if we compromise? She asks. I have another sleep medication I'd like you to try. It's fairly new. It's fast-acting and has a short half-life, so it'll be out of your system quickly. You could write until midnight, then take it, and you'll get at least 7 hours of sleep. You can write and also give your brain and body the rest they need. What do you think? I like the idea of writing when I need to. Mostly, I like doing it with Sue's permission. Sure, I say. She hunches over and scratches out a prescription. Take this every night at midnight or earlier. She hands it to me. Now, I have something important to say. Uh-oh, here it comes. Things are going really well for you right now, Sam. That's because you're making some positive changes in your life. But it's also because we found a treatment plan that's working. Weekly talk therapy, medication to help you sleep, and medication to keep invasive thoughts from turning into anxiety attacks. You are not allowed to modify this combination on your own. Okay. In the future, you talk to me before you stop taking any of your meds. Are we clear? Yes. Good. She sits up straight and crosses her legs. Now, is there anything else you'd like to tell me? She folds her hands in her lap and waits. I sneak another peek at the clock. Crap! How could I still have 30 minutes left in this session?
I fall back against the chair and close my eyes. AJ, I say matter-of-factly.
The one you and Caitlin used to tease?
I nod.
How long has this been going on?
I do the math in my head. It's been more than 2 months since Caroline first led me down those stairs and introduced me to him. A month since he let me back into Poet's Corner. A week since he invited me to his house and declared us friends. For me, a couple of months. For him, there's nothing going on, because, as with all my other crushes, this one's completely one-sided.
Why do you say that? She asks.
We're friends. I think about the way he touched my arm in the hallway today, and I feel the corners of my mouth turn up against my will. But I like him. He's nice to me. The whole thing feels normal.
How does it feel normal?
She asks softly, using the tone of her voice to get me to tell her more. I want to tell her everything. I stretch my putty in my hands, trying to decide where to begin. Finally, I stop searching for the right thing to say, the thing I think Sue wants to hear, and instead I just start talking in that scary, filterless way. I don't think I'm obsessed with him. I mean, okay, I might be kind of fixated on his ex-girlfriend, Devon. I started looking her up last week, and it was pretty bad at first, but I'm starting to get it under control. I tell Sue about Caroline's baseball trick. Sue writes it down. But so many things feel better lately. I'm not spending half my evening wondering if I'm going to pick the wrong thing to wear the next day. During class, I'm not worrying that I might say something at lunch that will piss off one of my friends, so they all gang up against me and ignore me for 3 days straight. For the first time in a long time, I don't care what they think. And it's not because of this guy or the writing or Caroline. Or I don't know, maybe it is. Maybe it's about all those things. I'm getting all fired up now and I can't sit still, so I leave my chair and walk over to the window overlooking the parking lot. All I know is that I feel good about myself for the first time in ages. I might still be obsessing, but I'm obsessing about poetry and words. I'm swimming almost every day, and my body feels strong and my mind is so clear. And I like this really nice guy, who might not think of me as more than a friend, but at least he's not a jerk like Kurt, or completely unattainable like Brandon. She drops her portfolio on her seat and walks over to join me at the window. I'm not obsessing about my friends turning on me or kicking me out of their little club. I no longer care if they do. It feels freeing to say the words out loud, and as I do, it occurs to me how true they are. I care more about what AJ and Caroline and the rest of the people in Poet's Corner think of me. If they kicked me out or stopped talking to me, I'd be devastated. But of course they'd never do that in the first place. I feel safe with them. And maybe it's obsession. Maybe it's not normal at all. But I feel good when I'm with them. I can tell. And without revealing the secret room underneath the school theater, I spend the rest of the session telling her about AJ, Caroline, Sydney, Cameron, Abigail, Jessica, Emily, and Chelsea. My 8 new friends. Not a date. The parking lot is practically empty. I swipe my card key across the panel, the gate clicks open, and I step inside, looking around and wondering why there's no one here. Team practices ended hours ago, but even though it's after 8 o'clock, there are usually a few adults swimming laps when I arrive. Tonight, there's one person in the pool. I'm relieved she isn't in lane 3. I drop my swim bag on a chair near the edge and unzip the side pocket that holds my cap and goggles. From the main compartment, I grab my towel, and when I do, I spot my blue notebook. It's such a nice night, so I stuffed it in here at the last minute, thinking I might sit on the lawn and write for a while after my workout. I've never actually written at the pool before. My poems come to me as I'm swimming, and I put them on paper when I get home. But they never sound quite as good as they did in my head. This way, I figure I won't lose my groove. I'm only halfway through my workout when the other swimmer leaves the pool, and heads for the outdoor shower. A few laps later, I see her unlatching the gate and disappearing into the parking lot. I'm alone. I hop out of the pool and walk over to the chair, grab my blue notebook and a pen, and set them on the edge of the pool under the diving block. By the end of my workout, the paper is soaked through at one corner, and some of the ink is smudged, but I can still read my latest poem clearly. I add the final line and read the whole thing through, top to bottom, crossing out a word here and another there, swapping them out for better ones as I go. When I'm done, my toes are sore from sliding them back and forth across the wall, but I don't care. This poem is actually pretty good. I wrap myself up in my towel, jam my notebook back into my bag, rinse off in the shower, and head into the locker room to change into my sweats. I'm piling my hair into a ponytail when my phone chirps. I grab it off the counter and read the text. "You were really good today." It's from a number that's local but unknown. I type, "Who is this?" I rest the phone on the counter next to the sink and gather the rest of my things together. I'm throwing my bag over my shoulder when the phone chirps again. AJ. My bag slips to the floor and lands with a thud. I check the string. This isn't a message to the whole group. It's a message for me. My eyebrows pinch together as I reply, "Hey." It's been 2 weeks since that day at his house, when he taught me how to play guitar, told me about his ex-girlfriend, and we became friends and nothing more. I'm not sure what to say, so I stand there, leaning against the bathroom sink, holding the phone with both hands and waiting for his reply. Finally, one comes. "What are you up to?" I can't really tell him that I'm standing in a semi-public bathroom, my hair still wet from the shower, wearing sweats and no makeup, so I fall back on what I was doing 15 minutes earlier. "Not much, just writing." "Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt." "You didn't." "I'll let you get back. Just had to tell you I really liked your poem." Yesterday, when I took the stage for the sixth time, I read a poem about unreliable friends, people you love and feel bonded to but can never truly trust. It was about feeling alone and vulnerable, and never being able to fully let your guard down. When I read it, my voice was clear and loud and direct, and I've never felt more confident on that stage, but I've never felt more exposed either. Everyone clapped, and I slapped the paper on the wall, officially giving myself another contribution to Poet's Corner. And it felt good, really good. "Thanks." I'm not sure what to say next, but I don't want the conversation to end, so I decide to keep it going, being mysterious or flirtatious, or maybe a little of both. "Remember when you asked me if I had a favorite place to write?"
"Yeah."
"That's where I am." As I type the words, I'm thinking about what AJ said that day I was alone in Poet's Corner with him. When I asked him why everyone starts by saying where they wrote their piece, he said that the places matter, and by voicing them, they become part of the poem. I liked that idea.
I'm intrigued.
I bite my lip. Is this still friendly chatter, or are we flirting now? He might be flirting, I'm not sure. Just in case we are flirting, I wait for a minute before I reply, letting his words hang in the air a bit longer, keeping him intrigued.
Are you going to tell me?
I stare at the screen for a long time, gathering my nerve to reply with the first thing that pops into my head, which is definitely flirtatious, no way around it. I leave the locker room, throw my bag down on the grass, and then sit, legs folded underneath me, thumbs hovering over the keyboard. He's the one who keeps telling me to blurt, and blurting in a text is way easier than blurting face to face. Feeling shaky all over, I type, "Want me to tell you or show you?" Before I can chicken out, I press send, and my heart starts beating faster and harder than it had been when I was swimming laps. I drop the phone on the grass and shake out my arms, wishing I could unsend that text. But I can't. It's out there. I can't take it back now. Crap. I can see the screen. There's no response. He doesn't know what to say. I pushed it too far. I wind my wet ponytail around my finger, feeling stupid, and starting to wonder if he's ever going to reply, when the words appear in a speech bubble on my screen. Show me. I fall back on the grass and reach for the phone, covering my mouth with my hand to hide the stupid grin that just appeared out of nowhere. Play it cool. Play it cool. Tomorrow night, pick you up at 8. He'll be in my car again. I start to panic about the odometer, but then I force the thought away with a nice memory of the day he sat in my passenger seat, listening to me talk about my playlists and how I named them, telling me how he learned to play guitar, even though it was painful to hear. My parents would kill me if they knew I was driving around with passengers. So would Sue. But I can't pass up this chance. I want him to sit in that seat again, to talk to me like he did that day. See you then. I stare at the screen for what feels like a long time, wondering what this whole thing means. Wondering if it means anything. It's not a date. It's me showing a fellow poet where I like to write. That's it. But the thought of bringing AJ here makes me feel giddy and lightheaded. I look around the empty club, hoping it will be this quiet tomorrow night. Bring your swimsuit. I press send, and wait until the ellipses finally appear on the screen, telling me he's typing his reply. I'm not sure I'm intrigued anymore. I laugh. I'm not ready for this conversation to end, so I read back through the string, as if that will keep it alive, and to double-check to be sure I didn't misread anything. I don't think I did. He started it. I kept it going and turned a friendly check-in into something else. It's not a date, I say aloud as I run my finger along the glass. We're friends. Even if that's all we are, it's okay. This is already more than I ever expected from AJ Olsen. The bottom rung. Last night I took the sleep meds that knock me out for 8 solid hours and set my alarm to wake me up 15 minutes earlier than usual. This morning I showered quickly and rushed through breakfast with Mom and Paige, all so I could get to school early and talk to Caroline before first bell. I can't wait to tell her about my non-date tonight with my friend and nothing more, AJ. I'm 10 minutes ahead of schedule, buckling my seatbelt and about to pull out of the driveway, when I get an all-caps text from Caitlin, telling me she hates Haley. I let out an annoyed sigh as I put the car back in park. I should have known the drama-free state of existence wouldn't last long. I'm replying when I get a text from Haley, telling me that Caitlin is going to kill her. The text contains a link, and I click it. It leads me to a photo of the 8 of us, taken in Sarah's backyard the summer before 3rd grade. We're all in our swimsuits, but Caitlin is wearing her bottoms and nothing else. It already has more than 30 likes. I separately tell them both I'm on my way. By the time I arrive at Haley's locker, Caitlin and Alexis are already there, screaming at her about practicing proper judgment and considering the feelings of others. My palms feel sweaty as I near the scene, and a horrible chill travels up my spine when I get close enough to hear Haley's voice crack as she tries to defend herself without breaking down into tears. I get it. I've been in her position before, too many times to count. Without even thinking about what I'm doing, I step in front of Haley and push Caitlin away, holding her at arm's length. Calm down, you guys. Do you even know what she did? Caitlin yells at me. Then she returns her attention to Haley. What were you thinking? She screams over my shoulder. I thought it was funny. I thought you'd think it was funny. Haley's voice is low and unsteady. I'm sorry, I took the picture down. After it got more than 50 likes, Alexis says, jumping in to support Caitlin like she always does. You looked pretty, Haley tries. But that makes Caitlin even more infuriated. No one's looking at my face, Haley. Oh, come on. We were little kids. Caitlin. We make eye contact, and I don't let her go. It feels weird.
I don't think I've ever looked her in the eye with such conviction before. You have every right to be angry, but you have to calm down, okay? Let's talk about this at lunch. No, Samantha, she yells in my face. We'll talk about it now. No, Caitlin, we won't. I don't even blink. I grab Haley's hand and pull her away before either one of them has a chance to respond, and steer her around the corner, down the hallway, and over to the bathroom in the next building. Hopefully, they won't think to look for us there. Once we're inside, Haley slams her hand against the bathroom door as tears start streaming down her face. You know what sucks? Haley yells. She would have done that to me, or to you. And if we got upset or embarrassed, she would have called us oversensitive and told us not to take everything so personally. She mimics Caitlin's voice on that last part and nails it. Black streaks of mascara slide down Haley's bright red cheeks, and I grab a paper towel from the dispenser and run it under the cold water. I hand her the towel. Still, you had to know Caitlin would be upset. That was kind of messed up. She takes the towel from me and sets it straight on the counter. She hugs me hard. It was. I don't know why I did it, Samantha, she says. But I'm pretty sure I do. Whether it's conscious or not, I'm guessing it has something to do with being on the bottom rung. Thanks for stepping in. I didn't expect you to do that. My chest tightens. Haley should expect her friend to step in and defend her. Is this the first time I have? I hug her back and tell her it'll be okay, because it always is. They'll punish you for a couple of days, but then they'll find something else to move on to. You think? I'm positive. By this time next week, we'll all be referring to it as itty-bitty-titty-gate and laughing our asses off. That makes Haley crack up. She hugs me even harder. There's still time to chat with Caroline, so I grab the wet paper towel off the counter and press it into Haley's hands. I have to run. Clean up and go to class, okay? Try not to think about it. They're empty words. Of course she'll think about it. I'll see you at lunch. Will you? She asks. Will I what? Be there at lunch? She stares at me. You've missed a lot of them lately. Have I? Haley raises her eyebrows like she's wondering how I could ask such a ridiculous question. Over the last few weeks, two missing lunches turned into three and sometimes four. If I'm not in Poet's Corner, I'm hiding in the first row of the theater, writing with Caroline. Deja vu, she says as she starts wiping her makeup off. What do you mean? It's Sarah all over again. She disappeared a little bit at a time, remember? Gone a few days here, then a few days there, and then she was gone for good. Haley, she doesn't let me finish. Sam, I don't want you to disappear too. If you were gone, I don't... She wrings the paper towel in her hands. I'll be there today, I promise. Of course I'll be there today, it's Wednesday. But if it were Monday or Thursday, I'd skip Poet's Corner to be sure Haley was okay. I'll see you at lunch, I repeat. I race to my locker and take my time gathering my books, hanging back as long as I can. But Caroline never shows up. Here you are. I'm relieved to find the swim club parking lot completely empty, and I pull into a spot near the front gate. The odometer wasn't a problem. I've driven here so many times I know all the back roads and cheats that help me park correctly. North Valley Swim and Tennis Club, AJ says, reading the sign as I pull into a spot. Then he turns to me. A pool? I'm a swimmer, I say. Really? I didn't know that. I shrug. I currently hold the county record in butterfly. No shit? No shit. I'm feeling pretty confident as I walk to the back of the car and pop the trunk. Throwing my swim bag over my shoulder, I slam the trunk closed, head for the gate, and swipe the card key against the panel. The gate clicks open, and once we're inside, I point out the men's locker room and tell him I'll meet him at the pool. 2 minutes later, I've washed my face, changed into my suit, and I'm back outside again,
throwing my towel on the banister next to the showers like I always do. I've walked around crowded meets in a swimsuit since I was 6 years old, and I can't remember the last time I felt self-conscious about it, but tonight I do. I slip into the shallow end before AJ gets outside. The water is warm and I dunk under, wetting my hair, smoothing it back off my face. While I wait for him, I think about Haley. People made comments about that photo all day, and by the time the final bell rang, Caitlin was even more pissed at her. I make a mental note to text her when I get home. AJ emerges from the locker room and stands there, shifting his weight back and forth, looking adorable and awkward. I call his name and wave him over.
"It's freezing out here," he says.
"The pool's a lot warmer."
"You want me to get in?"
"You are wearing a swimsuit." I look up at the sky. "And it is a nice night." The evenings have turned a little cooler over the past couple of weeks, but still, it's California. The air has a bit of a bite, but the sky is clear and there are plenty of stars. AJ nods, and I watch him walk to the opposite side of the pool, past all the lane lines, and climb the ladder to the diving board. Without hesitating, he struts to the end of the platform and does a pencil dive. Feet first, stick straight, right in. He pops up to the surface and swims toward me, doing some kind of weird-looking hybrid stroke I've never seen before. "Let me guess," I say, when he's close enough to hear me. "You never took swim lessons?" He reaches a point where he can stand, and he starts walking toward me, speaking while he tries to catch his breath.
"Not a single one. I'm a natural, right?"
I laugh. Exactly what I was thinking. He leans back, resting his arms on the edge of the pool.
"This is your favorite place to write? A pool?"
Now that he says it that way, I realize how strange it sounds. "Yeah, I used to recite song lyrics while I swam, but ever since that first time in Poet's Corner, I've been writing poetry while I swim laps instead." I fall forward into the water, and with one big stroke, I'm standing right next to him. I press my palms into the concrete and lift myself out of the pool. I can feel him watching me as I walk to the opposite end. I step up on the block of lane number 3. As I take my stance, I run my finger along the scratchy surface 3 times, and then I dive in, pushing off with my legs as I squeeze my arms tight against my ears. Palm over hand, I pierce the surface and dolphin kick hard under the water. 1, 2, and on 3 I pop up, throwing my arms over my head. I find my rhythm. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Once I have a beat, I start thinking about words. When AJ's legs are visible under the water, I head right for them. I come in close, touch the wall with both hands and push off again, swimming back to the blocks, keeping the rhythm, and making up a poem as I go. On the other side, I do one last turn and head back to the shallow end. Back to AJ. I stop a few feet short of him and stand up, panting and trying to catch my breath. I dunk underwater and slick my hair back off my face, feeling myself flush as I think about what I just wrote. AJ is taking big strides toward me, pumping his arms exaggeratedly as he goes. When he's close enough, he brings his hands to my shoulders and fixes his eyes on me.
"Sam McAllister, what was that? And these shoulders?"
He gives both of them a squeeze, and I wish I could sink back under the water and die. I know, they're horrible and manly. My friends make fun of them all the time. He looks at me sideways.
"Why would they do that?"
I'd shrug, but I don't want to draw any more attention to my shoulders. "Because they get off on the misery of others?"
"No, I mean, why would they do that? You could knock them into next week with these."
As he steps closer, his hands slide down my arms. I wanted to escape his grip, but now I'm hoping he'll stay right where he is.
"Do you swim every day?"
"I do all summer, but once school starts and I get busy with other stuff, I tend to let it slip until the school team season begins in the spring. But this year I decided to be more focused. Now I swim at least 6 days a week. My coach thinks I have a good chance at a scholarship if I keep it up." I mentally prepare myself for the heart palpitations that typically follow statements about going away to college, but tonight that doesn't happen. He looks past me toward the far end of the pool.
"And while you were doing that?"
he says, not even trying to hide the surprise in his voice.
"You were writing at the same time?"
"No," I lie. I can't tell him what I wrote. "I didn't write anything this time."
"Yes, you did. I can tell by the look on your face."
"There's no look on my face." He pivots me around so he's at the deeper end of the pool. We're eye to eye now, and it seems like we're the same height.
"Come on, tell me, Sam."
Sam. I love the way he calls me that, but right now I wish he wouldn't. It's completely disarming. "I can't. I wrote it in like 20 seconds. It sucks." He splashes me lightly.
"Sorry, I don't have any paper."
I try to hide behind my hands again, but he grips my arms and gently forces them underwater, pressing them against my sides.
"You saw my songs. I've written some incredibly lame stuff."
I start to argue with him, but he doesn't give me any time.
"Tell me, Sam."
His smile is kind, encouraging, contagious, and that dimple so adorable. Another Sam. I blow out a breath, close my eyes, breathe in again. Everything in me tells me to stop talking, but I don't listen like I usually do. And then another thought takes over. Tell him. I didn't go there looking for you. I went looking for me. My voice is soft, low, and shaky. But now here you are. And somehow, in finding you, I think I've found myself. I start to panic. I said too much. I knew I would. Caroline was wrong about letting my guard down. Damn blurting. Before I can open my eyes, I feel him rest his forehead against mine, and his hands slide around my back as he brushes his lips lightly against mine, kissing me like I just said the right thing, not the wrong thing. And this kiss. God, this kiss is soft and warm and perfect. And I part my lips as my fingers find the back of his neck. He tastes like spearmint, and his skin smells like chlorine. And I kiss him, remembering all the times I pictured Brandon doing this, and how those moments never ended well. I trail my fingers along his skin. He feels real. I let my hands wander up to his damp hair. That feels real, too. Please, let this be real. Please don't let me be imagining this.
"You okay?"
he asks. He hooks his finger under my chin and tips my head back so I have no choice but to look up at him.
"See, this is where that blurting thing of mine comes in handy," he says quietly. "I'll start. I'm so glad I just kissed you. I've wanted to kiss you for weeks, long before that day at my house. And right now, I really want to kiss you again."
He kisses my forehead, my cheek, my mouth, and I kiss him back. But he must sense my hesitation, because he pulls away and rests his forehead on mine again.
"This isn't fair. I can't tell what you're thinking. Don't worry about getting the words right. Tell me."
This is a mistake. He doesn't like me. He likes the person Caroline turned me into. He thinks I'm a normal girl who swims and writes poetry, but I'm not. I'm obsessed with my thoughts, and I can't sleep, and I count in threes. He writes music and wears his heart on his sleeve, and I don't deserve him. This isn't good. I bite my lips together, pressing them closed to keep the rest of this thought inside me, where it belongs. I stare down at the water again, but I can see his reflection. He's watching me, waiting for me, silently asking me to keep going, to keep talking.
"Sam."
He runs his thumb along my cheekbone.
"What isn't good?"
As soon as I part my lips, I hear the words slip out, like they're floating away from me all by themselves. "I like you too much." He kisses me again, harder this time.
"Good,"
he whispers.
"I like you too much, too."
Whatever this is. Once we start, we can't seem to stop. Other swimmers rarely show up after 8:30, and we're still the only ones here. But just in case that's about to change, I lead AJ away from the race lanes and back over by the diving board, where there's a little more privacy. The water's a lot deeper over here, so we both have to grip onto the side of the pool to keep from going under, and we have to stop kissing every few minutes so we can readjust. Each time we do, we laugh, because this whole thing is totally unexpected and more than a little bit funny. Kurt wasn't a very good kisser. All tongue, jabbing into my mouth over and over again, circling way too fast. Aside from him, I've kissed guys at parties and stuff, but all of them were probably drunk at the time. So maybe it's an unfair comparison, but AJ seems especially skilled. I try not to think about how much practice he had with Devon. I try not to think about the girls he kissed before Devon, or the ones before that. I employ Caroline's baseball trick, mentally swinging my bat, sending the negative thoughts flying into the distance. It works. Soon they're gone, and there's nothing left but AJ and me. Mouths and skin and water and... I don't want it to end. It feels so amazing to let go and lose myself this way. He spots the ladder and slides me toward it, lifting me onto the top rung. I take his face in my hands and wrap my legs around his waist to keep him from drowning, and we go right back to kissing again. Each time one of us makes a move to leave, the other one plants a kiss somewhere. AJ on my back as I'm climbing the ladder, me on AJ's neck, just as he's starting to pull himself out of the water. And each time we slide back in, picking up where we left off. When we finally agree to get out, we make a deal and shake on it. When we're back near the locker rooms, I step into the outdoor shower. "You coming in?" I ask him. I'm used to rinsing off next to my teammates out here, but this feels different. I stop at a shower head and flip it on, and he finds one farther in the back on the opposite wall. I wash the chlorine out of my hair, stealing glances at him as I do. AJ doesn't have a swimmer's body. His arms and back aren't as muscular, but he's definitely not skinny like I once thought he was. He's balanced, solid, and strong all over. He catches me watching him. He cuts the water, and I do the same. I grab my towel and wrap it around his shoulders, and then I ball the ends up in my hands and pull him in close, like I once imagined Brandon doing to me. We kiss again for a long time. Then he wraps the towel around me. "I'll meet you back out here," I say as I head for the locker room. I get dressed in the post-swim clothes I packed, yoga pants and a fitted sweater, a big step up from the baggy sweats and my faded hoodie I usually throw on when I get out of the pool. And I dig through my bag until I find my makeup kit. I carry it over to the mirror, but it seems weird to put any of it on. He's already seen me without it for the last hour. What's the point? I gather my things and head for the bathroom door. AJ's hair is still damp, but he's dressed in the clothes he wore here. We walk through the gates and out to my car. He shivers and I crank up the heat.
"Music?"
he asks, reaching for my phone. I remind him of my password, and he makes his selection so quickly, it's as if he went straight to Song for You and pressed play. He tosses my phone in the console and falls back into the headrest. The first track is an acoustic version of Your Body is a Wonderland, and he recognizes it right away. I can tell because his eyes fall shut, and he starts plucking at invisible strings. "Where else do you play guitar?" I ask. "Are you in a band or anything?"
"Nope, I've never played anywhere but downstairs."
"Really?" I ask. "Never?" He opens his eyes and gives me an awkward grin.
"Nah, I like playing downstairs. Small group, extremely kind. Very forgiving."
"You're afraid?" On stage, he's like a performer completely in his element, playing to the crowd, pointing and winking to cheese it up during his funnier songs. He loves being up there, you can tell.
I can't imagine playing for total strangers.